Welcome to the Lost Dog Podcast and the fifth edition of the Transpyrenees Race, supported by our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS. It's registration day at TPR number 5, and not surprisingly, the sun is shining at this year's race start location, San Sebastian, in Spain's beautiful Basque Country. The riders set off tomorrow morning, so today is all about making sure that everyone is registered and has everything they need for the grand départ. David Eyre is race director at TPR number 5 and getting ready to welcome all riders to a pretty unique registration venue.
We are currently at registration here in San Sebastian. So the registration this year is taking place at the Real Sociedad football ground. So we have a section of kind of underneath the stand available to us, which goes out onto the pitch as well. So the riders are coming through, we're checking their IDs, giving them their cap and their tracker. They're having their bikes checked as well to make sure everything's ship shape before they hit the road. And then they're having their photo taken overlooking the pitch as well. So really nice little touch. And then there's nothing left to do until they roll out at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. It's a nice relaxed vibe here, I would say. Lots of pastries, cortados coming in thick and fast as well. I think I'm part custard, part pure caffeine at this point, which is pretty special. It's the ratio I like to try and achieve on any given day, really. But the volunteers are all doing a great job as well. Everything's running like clockwork, and it seems like a happy, chilled environment. So yeah, really nice so far.
As always, once the race gets underway, we'll have two control cars on the route with race reporters in each car. They'll be interviewing riders on the road and producing those all-important daily race reports. Today, they have their microphones at the ready to try and speak to riders as they register and to get a sense of how they are feeling. Before that, they're going to attempt a quick tour of proceedings. I'll let them introduce themselves.
I'm Hannah Lavalestier. I'm going to be race reporter on TPR, and I'm quite often a race coordinator or race director on our other races. And I'm here with Stuart Downey.
So I'm the other race reporter, and I'm also the one writing the race reports that will be published on the website. So hello, everyone. And we're going to take a walk through registration, aren't we, Hannah?
Yeah, so we're at the, sorry for the mispronunciation of this, but at the Real Sociedad Stadium here. Thank you. Here in San Sebastian. So this is the big football ground here, massive stadium, and we are doing registration in their underground car park. So we're approaching the ID check desk now.
You see the face, the familiar face of David Eyre. They're doing a sterling job checking rider IDs, identifying pairs, checking if they're on the green leaderboards.
And we've also got Taylor Doyle, our media manager here, sifting through our photos and preparing posts ready to go out. Say hi, Taylor.
Hello.
Do you have anything to say to our listeners?
I'm really excited to tell the story of this race. The vibe is very chill. Everyone's very relaxed and happy to see everyone else. So, yeah, that feels good.
And we're now going to walk over to the cap and tracker desk. So this is where riders pick up their race cap, which has been hand-printed with their race number, and also their GPS tracker, which allows us to follow them throughout the race.
Yeah, iconic.
What number shall I be? I quite like this number 47. That's nicely printed, isn't it?
Beautiful, yeah. Do we print 13 upside down?
We print 13, but we always give it to Anna Haslock, our managing director, because that was always Mike's number.
Oh, okay.
We're not actually collecting a cap and tracker, but no, maybe you can pretend that we are just for the sake of the podcast.
Okay, yeah, so number 39. So what you've got here is you've got your tracker, your iron-on patch. You can put it on your top, your bags or anything, do it before or after the race, and your cap. Next thing you need to do is have your tracker briefing over there. Once that's been done, head over and have your bike checked. And then Lucas, as you go out, just make sure that you've done everything you need to. And then you have your rider photograph and then come back later for registration.
Cool. Thanks, Jim.
Great race.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
Time to leave the tour and hear directly from some of our riders. The first to arrive at registration this morning was Paolo Capozzi, Cap 90. How's he feeling now the race is almost upon us?
It's a mixture of excitement, not really fear, but yeah, a little bit of fear, and yeah, excitement and fear. I'd say 80% excitement, 20% fear.
It's probably the right balance, I'd say. You need a little bit of fear, don't you?
Yes. I think having a bit of fear means that you are doing things well. I think you will try to do things well if you have a little bit of fear. If you have no fears, I would believe that only crazy people have no fear at all.
Tell us a little bit about your setup as well. I mean, obviously, this is the first edition where you'll have to ride gravel, right?
I have to say, I'm not a huge fan of gravel, but I mean, my percentage of gravel in this race is still 13%. So it's relatively small compared to the biggest distance. But my biggest concern is not managing to sleep. And to sleep enough, you know, you kind of at that point in night you think I can go a bit further. I didn't find a hotel. I should sleep somewhere, but you don't find a good place to sleep, and you end up maybe not sleeping anywhere. That's a bit my fear, and also because it's by far the longest distance I've done so far. My longest race so far was 1,000 kilometers, although with 27,000 I meters, so even a bigger ratio than this one. But at the end of that one, I was, in German we would say fertig, so just done. I like to see how I feel now after this one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
One rider who is more than familiar with the distance and climbs of the Trans-Pyrenees race is Ben Chouillon, Cap 11. This will be Ben's fourth TPR, having raced and finished in general classification at TPRs 2, 3, and 4.
I just love the mountains. I love the challenge, pushing myself to sort of the limits, and you keep coming up with these hooks to get me hooked into the event. Like last year, reverse the route, got to do that. This year, gravel edition, well, it's a no-brainer, I've got to do that. I always start off saying I'm not going to do it, and then I end up signing up.
And how are you feeling about the change of route this year with the gravel parkour?
I'm really looking forward to it. I'm riding a lot more gravel these days, really enjoying it, enjoying the traffic-free roads. And the Pyrenees are pretty remote anyway, but I think going on gravel in the Pyrenees is just awesome. And from what I've seen from photographs, the gravel sections are going to be really beautiful and stunning.
Cool. And then I've got a few final questions. Very quick fire. Gravel bike or road bike?
Gravel bike.
Knobblies or slicks?
Semi-slick.
Spain or France?
France?
You have to say that because you're a Frenchie.
Yeah, but I'm, you know, I'm a French speaker, French national, and being in France is just so much easier in terms of language, communication, phoning hotels, etc.
Bivy or hotel?
A hotel.
And then my final question maybe doesn't make sense if you're staying at hotels, but bus stop or ATM?
Out in the wild, I will be bivvying. And I'm hoping to bivvy more than ever on this race. But I quite like to be off the beaten track and not visible, rather than being in sort of urban areas.
Anna Petters, Cap number 7, is another TPR veteran who has taken part in a number of ultra races, including editions 6 and 7 of the Transcontinental race.
Why do you keep coming back to races?
Because it keeps you, it puts you in a state that you could never be when you tour. It's like, when I'm in a bivvy or in a tent when I'm touring and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to get up. But when you are on a race, you have to get up and you have to go. And then you see sun rises and sunsets and you meet people you would never meet otherwise. And yes, you're super tired, but that also puts you in a, it's almost like meditation, you know, it's like you reach another part of you that you never reach otherwise. That's the, yeah, very much outside your comfort zone, I would say.
That's so perfectly put. And it's quite a refreshing change from everyday life, isn't it?
Yeah. And you're, you know, you get up, the only thing you are supposed to do is to push on your pedals and just go. And you need to eat a bit, maybe need to sleep a little bit, you need to drink water, you need to figure out your way, and that's it. No, nothing else. So that's like the best vacation I can imagine.
It's always great to have people return to TPR, but it's also fantastic to welcome brand new riders to the Pyrenees.
I'm Jackie Townsend, Cap number 58.
And what brings you to the Trans-Pyrenees race?
The mountains, basically. I've never been to the Pyrenees before, and this was, just called to me. So I saw it being advertised. I had 24 hours to apply, And I thought, why not? Let's give it a go. I haven't done anything where I've had to route myself before, so it could be very interesting. So, but we'll see how I get on.
And how have you found the route planning element of it?
Challenging, because unfortunately I've been working quite a lot, so I've had to sort of fit it in amongst work. So I've just put my faith in Ride with GPS and hope that they've given me a decent route. If not, it's going to be interesting.
So you haven't been there, sat at your computer, like pulling your route lines around to compare all of the different options?
No, nothing like that. I've literally let Ride with GPS route me, and I'm going to find out. Unfortunately, I know lack of preparation. Preparation is the key usually in these events. And unfortunately, I'm probably going to, find out that I wish I had spent more time doing my routing. But we'll see what.
I'll be watching your dot moving across the map and wondering where you'll be going.
Exactly. If I go completely opposite direction to everyone else, you'll know, oh, okay, that's interesting.
It's now mid-morning in San Sebastian, and more riders are going through the registration process. Stuart and Hannah are mingling away to try and capture their pre-race thoughts.
I'm here with Cap 83, Michael Fedora, who listeners might recognise from the Accursed Race. Michael, how are you feeling for Trans-Pyrenees?
Very excited, very exciting. It's It's a long distance with a huge amount of elevation in beautiful nature, so it can't be any better. The weather's expected to be good, so I'm really looking forward to it. Can't say any other. I'm looking forward to see all the mountain passes from the roadside. So that's great. It's a gravel race, so I decided for 45 mil tires. I hope it will make the ride a little bit smoother. In the Pyrenees, you never know what will come up.
Hey, my name is Gundi. I'm cup number 139. I'm feeling quite excited about tomorrow, a bit nervous as well. I still have a few things on my mind that I want to tweak, and just kind of excited to get going, because it's been since beginning of the year that I knew I'm doing it, so it's been always very at the distance, whether now it's tomorrow. I've been lucky to be one of the bursary riders, so I had a lot of support from Lost Dot, from Andrew, and from some of the other guys. They had offered me a lot of advice, a lot of tips. I've spoken to some of the riders that did the race before, so I had enough time and advice to tweak my things that I'm bringing along, how I'm training. I just want to get started now, because I think the waiting has been quite long, and I just think once I'm on the road, I'll be happy, enjoying the views and just, riding. And it's just nice to see everyone as well, because it's a bit isolating. You're training all alone all year long, and you obviously sometimes ride with friends, but then due to your riding schedule you can't, because you have intervals or that. So it's nice to see people today arriving here, and it's like, yes, these are my people, we're all here, we're doing this. So yeah.
It's like a big family reunion.
Yes, even though I don't know most of the people, it just seems like, oh, you're riding through the city town and you see someone else with all the bike bags and everything, you're like, hey, you're going the same way. Yeah.
Sebastina Brugman, Cat 138, is another one of our bursary riders at TPR number 5.
What sort of preparation did you do in the run-up to Trans-Pyrenees?
Yeah, normally I'm going so many kilometers over the year. Also in winter, I'm going cycling, and I do around 50 to 100 kilometers per day. Wow. So that's a lot of riding. Yeah. So, but I came from Hamburg, a lot of flat riding. So that it's a big amount of kilometers, but I really like to be outside. So I got a little chat what to got this better done. But I have a lot of time spending also on this riding. So I'm not into this really training person. So I like to be outside, and I like to enjoy riding. So, and this keeps me going, so not the real performance. So I like to be also on community rides. In Hamburg, we have a lot of little communities. And this keeps me going, so that I can enjoy time with others. And now it's different on this race. It's my turn to be here on the phone side. but I think I will really enjoy this time in the Pyrenees, my first time in the Pyrenees, and first time I'm doing such a big thing.
One of the women to keep an eye on in this year's race is Nicole van Battenberg, Cap 87. She's competed in several ultra races, including the race across Rwanda. This will be her first TPR experience.
How are you feeling?
To be fair, I'm a little bit sick, but I've been sleeping this morning and hopefully I will be fine tomorrow morning when we start. But I'm very excited and I've spent so many hours looking at the map and finding the best route. So hopefully I will be okay tomorrow and just taking it easy and enjoying everything because the weather looks perfect as well. So hopefully the fresh air and everything will give me a better feeling. Yeah.
Is there anything in particular you're looking forward to? Do you know the Pyrenees well or...?
Well, it's actually quite funny because this is my 10th ultra and my first ultra was 3 years ago in the Pyrenees as well. I did biking Man Euskadi and I did it because it was the only option that was left because in May I realized like, oh, I want to do an ultra. So I signed up because there was the only one, there was a spot left. So it's quite cool that now after 3 years, I'm back for my 10th ultra in the Pyrenees. So I'm looking forward and see how I will... deal better with the mountains. Like when I did the first ultra, I really didn't know what to expect with mountains. I almost didn't bring my leg warmers because I had never cycled in the in the mountains, so I didn't know how cold it could be. So then a friend said to me, like, Nicole, if you don't bring your leg warmers, you have to scratch on the first day.
Oh,
so it was a very good friend. After that, I learned a lot, improved a lot. So hopefully I will now, show that after a lot of ultras, you know how it works a bit better and improve. Yeah.
Michael Drummond, Cap 81, is one of two riders at TPR number 5 who have decided to switch their camera for the saddle. Having been part of Lost Dots media team at previous events, Michael has been tempted by the lure of the Pyrenees landscapes.
You have made a beautiful film about the Trans-Pyrenees race before. This is true. You can find it on YouTube, I think.
Absolutely, you can, yes. TPR number 3, a Lost Dot film.
It's the first time racing a Lost Dot event, first time racing TPR.
Yeah.
What made you, having, obviously, you know the race quite well, what made you want to do that?
I think it was the idea. I was green with envy while filming. There was just so many amazing landscapes out here, and a lot of my time was spent hiking on some of the trails to get shots, and it was just a pure joy. Like, the Pyrenees are a really special mountain range, like not just because of like how they look, but the mythology behind them and the culture within it. I just want to ride and experience what's around me and really immerse myself in it.
Speaking of motivation, can you tell me about the Lizard King?
Absolutely. So my dad passed away just before Christmas last year. And when he used to walk around the house and do chores and errands or random tasks, he would walk around saying, "I am the Lizard King, I can do anything." And it's a Doors lyric by Jim Morrison. And it's quite a lengthy poem. If you haven't listened to it, it's worth listening to. But I've got his ashes on my TT bars. And he couldn't ride a bike, actually. And there's a little bit of guilt in there, purely because we got him to ride a bike about 25 years ago in the garden. And he didn't do very well and fell into a bush in front of the whole family. So there's 5 of us laughing at him, you know, in jest. But he's a very proud man. Didn't ride a bike again. So this is my gift to him. And I'm going to take him for a ride across the Pyrenees, show him the Mediterranean, and then come back and chuck him into the sea in the Bay of Biscay. And I think he'd appreciate the flippant nature of it.
Yes, I'm Samantha Saskia-Dugon, and I am cap number 103.
And listeners might already know your name. Do you want to tell us a bit about your experience with Lost Dot?
So I have been a photographer with Lost Dot for a couple of years, mainly shooting TCR and the Accursed, and now I've decided to turn up to ride the Trans-Pyrenees instead of, I don't know, a normal life.
And why are you here? Why did you decide that you need to experience it as a racer?
I had the really terrible idea, actually, whilst we were shooting the Accursed. There were just some very relatable and inspirational people on that race. And then some of my time later in the year had just freed up, and I was just like, you know what? I've got the itch. I've had it for years. There's only one way I'm going to find out. If I'm going to do one, I think TPR is one hell of a one to do, especially from like a photography standpoint of view. It's just so pretty. So if my kind of ethos so far has been, if I'm gonna be in pain, it may as well be gorgeous. So that's what I'm hoping is going to get me through it.
And did you bring a camera with you?
I didn't bring a camera with me. I'm just going to be on my iPhone. I really did toy with the idea, but this is a first for me, and I feel so out of my depth and inexperienced already. I thought I would actually try and be sensible and try to focus on one thing at a time, which I'm not usually very well versed in. So I'm hoping maybe that approach will serve me well.
The Lost Dot team are supported by a number of volunteers throughout the race and on registration day, including Annie Nicolai Blake.
So my good friend Gundy is competing this year, and she travelled across from Barcelona, and she let me know that there was a volunteer call out. And I've also been like checking in with how her training was going and things. And when I knew there was a need for volunteers, I jumped at it, really. I love San Sebastian. But I've volunteered at a few other races before, and I just like doing it, and everyone's super kind, and it's a nice way to meet everybody and like support my pal.
Yeah, how's the morning been so far in terms of like you're saying about meeting people?
Super good. There is a mixed, people have mixed emotions. I'm trying to kind of Mr. Miyagi people into turning their stress into excitement, and some people have been receptive of this and some people haven't. And I don't know how much of it is down to language barrier and how much of it is down to a difference in approach from someone not setting off to run 1 6 a.m. I feel like people are mostly nervous, but they can't really turn back now. So, yeah, so my general message has been like, well, you know, if it doesn't go very well, don't worry about it. Like, it's okay, all you can do is go.
Another volunteer is Julian Graveau, a TPR veteran himself, who is today playing an important role by carrying out those final bike checks.
Does it make you wish you were riding when you're doing it, or are you happy to send them off?
A little bit of both. It's always strange to be a rider, like being used to race, and seeing them getting ready with their old kit. Always like feel like I'd be on their side and go with them. But in a way, I'm also like very happy that I'm able to give back to the community, but also to Lost Dot. I've done many of their events, and I'm very like thankful for many things that happens during these events. So I'm like so happy to be here as a volunteer whenever I can. The race takes place in my backyard, so it would be a shame not to show up just to see like some familiar faces. And some less familiar ones, just to see some bikes going for a long ride. And I'm just happy to have like one more bike event. It's just involved in it in a different way, but yeah, it's always nice to get the vibe of it and see the people. Try to many of them are in a bit of a excitement and stress mix. So it's always nice to chat with them and just try to tell them it's going to be all right. And it's just a bike ride, you know?
Anna Linden, cap number 6, is about to take on her first Trans-Pyrenees race, but has previously been a finisher at TCR number 10 and ridden the Pan-Celtic race in Ireland.
I mean, I'm looking forward to all the mornings, I guess. The sunrises are going to be amazing, I think. And then all the mountain views, of course. And it's going to be really cool to hit the Mediterranean coast. Yeah, like a checkpoint, halfway. Yeah. That's going to be really cool to see the other coast and then return to this coast.
Yeah. This is the first edition where there is gravel that you have to do. How do you feel about that, first of all?
I've been getting more and more into gravel around Stockholm and in Sweden. There's tons of beautiful and also challenging gravel roads. So I've done a lot of gravel. I feel confident. Of course, here it's going to be rougher, bigger stones, etc. But I feel good about the gravel.
I've got a few quickfire questions. The first one is gravel bike or road bike?
I brought a gravel bike for this race, but I started ultra racing with a road bike. It's just the most comfortable and capable bike.
Spain or France?
France, because I speak the language, but the mix is going to be fun too.
Nice. We talked about this already. Mediterranean or Atlantic?
Atlantic, I think.
Bivy or hotel? We know this one for you already. Hotel?
Hotel, but if I could, I would bivy more because it's cozy. You get to see the stars. You can stop whatever, whenever you want. But for the light packing, I'm going to try the strategy this year.
If you're bivying, bus stop or ATM?
Oh, bus stop for sure. You can find really good bus stops. Found a good one in France. It was covered. It was two. There was three walls. There was lots of nice graffiti. A long bench where I could sleep on. It was perfect.
While most riders will be taking the mountains on alone in the race's solo category, a number of them will be riding in a pair. Forming a duo brings its own challenges. But Gael Legem and Christian Sieber, caps 136 A and B, have plenty of experience racing together.
What has brought you to the Trans-Pyrenees race?
The Pyrenees are very beautiful, so I wanted to explore this region a bit more. Yeah. We came here last year for bikepacking holidays, and we went through the Basque country mostly, and it was really beautiful, so yeah, I wanted to do this.
And now that we're here at the start, how are you feeling?
A little bit excited, I guess, yeah, but we are prepared, so I'm looking forward to it.
And you've brought with you hardtail mountain bikes.
Yes.
Tell us about your bike choice.
So the choice was not so difficult because Chris doesn't own any other bike, or he has a road bike but no gravel bike, and so we decided to take the hardtails.
You're gonna really shred it on all of the parkour and the off-road sections.
Yeah, and that was the hope.
And being more comfy as well, so yeah.
And maybe you'd even be able to ride it on the hiker bike sections.
I don't know yet. We'll see. Yeah, but we are having our bike harness here, so let's see if we can carry our bikes.
Amy James and Katie Roberts, cap 128 A and B, are another pair about to traverse the Pyrenees as partners.
I'm Amy, I'm 32 years old, and I was inspired to do this race because of my friend Katie here.
Yeah, I'm the one to blame for this, and I'm Katie Roberts, I'm 35, and yes, I thought, who's going to be man enough to do this with me? And so I asked Amy, and she's keen, so it's my fault.
Have you ridden this part of the world before, or?
I have. Yeah, I've done a few bikepacking trips, much more leisurely bikepacking trips, and I really love the Pyrenees. So, yeah, I could just ride around for days in the Pyrenees in circles and I'd be very happy.
This is why I'm so excited about riding with Amy, because she is cool, calm and efficient, and I'm not any of those things. And I also haven't cycled in Europe, so I was cycling on the other side of the road just to get here, and I was like, oh my days, this is going to be difficult when I'm tired.
What are you most excited about, do you think?
The food, probably. Having like triple breakfast, then double lunch, then like I don't know how many dinners.
Same, absolutely. Just eating everything inside and being okay with it.
You're just going to follow the lead.
Yeah, definitely.
And also, potentially bivvying. Never done that before. Mm-hmm. And it's an opportunity to try out all the kit which we've got, which is quite lightweight. And if we don't use it once, then I feel like what's the point of bringing it? So maybe at least one bivy we'll try and get done.
And the views, the mountains. I mean, we don't get mountains in Cornwall. We're just big hills. So I'm very excited to be going up something that's going to look beautiful.
Jamie Loudon, cap 60, is one of the riders you can expect to see at the front of TCR number 5. He's competed twice before. At TPR number 2, he went out at a blistering pace and led for the majority of the race, before eventually having to scratch on the Ray Parkour. A year later, he returned at TPR number 3 and was lightning fast along that very same 600km-plus stretch of Caulfield tarmac.
The plan this year is, I think, like the first time I didn't know really what I was letting myself in for, and that was kind of good in that it meant I just went really, really fast without really thinking too much about it. And then last time, like 2 years ago when I came back, I kind of imagined that I would just be a long way in front after the first day, and then when I wasn't, it was a bit weird. Didn't really know like what to make of that. And then after that I had a route choice which was spectacularly bad and probably cost me like 6 or 7 hours on everybody else. So then this time I feel like I just want to execute it well. I feel like the first time I went well but didn't really know what I was doing and then made some mistakes which kind of meant that I couldn't carry on. Well, 2 years ago I really didn't execute it at all, and now I'd like to kind of combine the two.
Another rider likely to find themselves at the pointy end of the race is Lucas Stripmatter, Cap 76. Though he's had to scratch a couple of recent races, Lucas is always exceptionally quick and has a top 10 finish at TCR under his belt.
So you've registered, you've had a little bit of time to chill out. How's your day been?
Good so far, yeah. Getting a little nervous right now. Always like the last few hours before the race last day before the race, I'm getting really nervous. Yeah. Somehow it's really bad, like those two scratches for my mental health. And I thought to myself, is it actually the right thing? Am I good in long ultras? And I'm glad that the TPR is a little bit shorter. More altitude climbing, and yeah, I see it as a maybe game changer to my next or previous races, because yeah, I may want to go to shorter ultras next year, and so yeah, I will see how it goes in the TPR, and I'll decide after that.
So it's a grand experiment in the Pyrenees for you.
Yeah, exactly.
With all riders successfully registered with race cap in hand, it's time for the rider briefing. This is a chance to go through the 10 race rules one last time and to wish everyone the best of luck before the action begins tomorrow morning.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to TPR number 5. So congratulations on all making it to San Sebastian and all being well the start line tomorrow. So we are really looking forward to getting to see you race over the next week, getting to know you a little bit as well, and bringing the story of your race to your friends, your family, and the wider dot watching public as well. But thank you all very much, and we'll see you at 5:30 tomorrow morning at the start line to organise you into your start waves. Cheers.
Join us for the next episode as the 5th edition of the Trans-Pyrenees race gets underway. Which riders will set the early pace? How will they cope with their first taste of gravel? And what tales from the trails will begin to unfold? Our race reporters will be out on the road to bring you all the action from day one at TPR number 5. You can read Stuart's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dot website, and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS.